Scher, pop culture's leading historian. Welcome to Histrionics for the last time with me on RN Drive. And this is a cracker because I love this story. I love the social history that is embedded in this. Do you like riding your bicycle? Are you a cyclist? Just as a hobby? Do you love that feeling? Are you a female cyclist? Because if so, I'm here to tell you that once upon a time, the very thought was scandalous. That didn't deter Australian women who have always taken to their bikes and were insistent upon doing it, but there's a lot to be said about the impact of the bicycle on women's equality in Australia. How is that the case? Well, Dr. Daniel Oakman is here to tell us. He's a senior curator of People and the Environment at the National Museum of Australia. He's just put together an exhibition on bikes, which is called Freewheeling, and it's going to be on show right across the country, starting in Brisbane. He joins us now. Thanks very much for joining us, Daniel.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Are you a cyclist yourself?
I am indeed. I think it was a prerequisite for developing this exhibition.
Yeah, how did you get onto the idea?
Well, I obviously had a personal interest in cycling, but the museum was quite keen to engage with really something that's become part of the cultural zeitgeist, the early 21st century. You know, everyone's talking about cycling, whether in a more negative or in a positive way. And we thought, well, let's take a deep look at it and really start exploring the really rich history that we have in this country.
Right, and 21st century is very boring for a historian. So you have to go back to the 19th century. And it sounds like this is kind of when things got interesting in Australia.
Absolutely, and particularly with this this exhibition allowed us to look at one particular bike that we have in our collection. It belonged to a woman called Marion Sutherland, and she was the wife of a bicycle manufacturer in Melbourne. And one of his designs was a step-through ladies bike that we see all around the cities today. So it's really stood the test of time. But in the late 19th century, early 20th century, it was an incredibly confronting device for women to be using.
Yeah, was it so confronting, the thought that women would be riding bikes?
Well, it's a very complex story, but if we have to remember that when the bicycle really achieved a kind of mass ownership, which was really about the 1890s, there was a craze across the country. And the idea that the application of a chain to a cog had amplified human energy by about 4 or 5 was revolutionary. And it was as if there was this great reservoir of energy in society had been unleashed, like a new element in the physical universe had been discovered. Mm. So there was this, tremendously, kind of charged atmosphere about what the bicycle might do, what it might do for society. So, of course, when women start riding bicycles, it starts to break down the kind of the social, sexual, and political mores that had really shaped the gender order for over the last few hundred years. Women were suddenly had moved from their, I guess, the perception of their femininity was based on being pale, weak, and passive.
Right.
Suddenly, they were active, in public, scorching around the streets,
and working up a sweat too.
Panting, sweating, having chance encounters with men. It was an incredibly kind of sexually charged and erotic phenomenon for many people, and it upset a lot of people.
It always comes back to sex, doesn't it? And I'm looking at photos of women at that period. So this is a photo from 1898, the Waratah Rovers Club in Sydney, that's at the State Library in New South Wales. I've got to say, sex isn't the first thing that comes to mind when I see how they're dressed for riding bicycles. And there was quite a to-do about what women should be wearing when they're riding bikes, wasn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting you point out that it definitely didn't look sexy. And in some ways, the kind of clothes that women chose to wear was to downplay the fact that they were engaged in a very transgressive activity. Mm. So the bikes they were riding with this step-through frame allowed them to ride in a dress. And that was in part of a way of avoiding having to wear knickerbockers or bloomers, which were, in some ways, you could think of them as the 19th century equivalent of Lycra.
Right.
They were really absolutely risque. Only very, very brave women took to wearing those. So wearing a dress allowed a woman to sort of maintain a respectable dignity while she was engaged in this very radical activity. But in some ways, if you think about it was the shape of the bicycle itself that was particularly confronting. It was considered a masculine object, and a saddle was seen as a phallic object. So for a woman to be, you know, mounted on this masculine object, riding around, there was medical concerns about them perhaps riding around, you know, stimulating themselves to orgasm, damaging their reproductive systems. So continuing with the dress kind of, you know, it allowed them to disguise what was going underneath and just pretend that they were sailing along, you know, by some miraculous force, not using their legs to empower them.
Quite remarkable. I imagine people mounting this argument had no data on the rate of female orgasm while riding bicycles in making that argument.
No, one of the debates actually centred around the idea of bicycle face. This was a phenomenon that people had observed. You know, scholars and medical professionals had observed bicycle face. And they could refer to two things. One, it's sort of a face that was twisted due to physical effort, but also a face that was contorted due to pleasure or perhaps even sexual pleasure. No one was quite sure, you know, perhaps blurring the differences somewhat.
Yeah, right. I see. Kind of like guitar face, but a little bit different.
Yeah, indeed.
I'm looking at a photo of a particular bike. So this is quite a nice one. It's wooden and it's quite elegant and it has that low scooping front. I imagine that's the walk-through element. This comes from the 19th century, I understand. Is there something specifically important about this particular bike?
Well, not so much. I mean, we know that Marion and Arthur were very prominent bicycle manufacturers in Melbourne. And well, I think the thing we're particularly interested in it is that it's in fabulous condition, but it's a very modest and genteel looking bicycle. She used it a lot around Melbourne, you know, running errands and for recreation. So she very much sort of typified what a middle class lady would be doing, getting around Melbourne on her bicycle. But while you know you have that surface of that very respectable activity and story, you know, beneath it there's this fabulously rich and complex and charged debate that was going on at the same time.
Yeah. I am looking also at some guidelines for, smart cycling costumes. I love this. Bolero coat with bell sleeves is recommended, apparently. Cambric shirt or loose front for the summer months. Fitted waistcoat. I didn't realise that was important when you were cycling. Divided skirt. That makes some sense. And on it goes. Gloves and all sorts of things. This is quite an elaborate setup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was huge money to be made from female cyclists, and that's one reason why the kind of medical debates and concerns fell away, is that it simply made commercial sense to cater to female cyclists. There was huge demand. So on a very practical level, those debates did fall away, and you know, there was a terrific range of products that women could buy.
So the whole anxiety about sex goes away when we figure out we can make money out of it.
Yeah, in some ways it's a very simple equation. Consumerism arrives very early in terms of the bicycle. But I should say, I think the underlying debate about the patriarchy and the gender order for women cycling didn't really go away.
Right.
Men didn't give up that easily. Women were banned from competitive cycling until the 1960s. They absolutely, controlled the kind of cycling that women could be engaged in.
Yeah, it's a really, really fascinating history, and I'm delighted that this exhibition is going to be going on and going around the country. Daniel, thank you very much for telling us about it.
All the best. Thank you.
Dr. Daniel Oakman, Senior Curator of People and the Environment at the National Museum of Australia. That exhibition on bikes is called Free Wheeling, incidentally, and as I say, it'll be on show right across the country. It starts in Brizzy, so if that's where you are, then you get first crack at it. Enjoy. And then it'll go around the country. We'll leave Ali with you for Drive. We just really have the drawing room to go. It's 21 minutes to 8. Make sure you hang around because we're going to look at what's beautiful.